Welcome to Blueprints for Brilliance Coaching Insights, a podcast by coaches for coaches. Our guests share their hard-won wisdom to help you grow your coaching business and create a life of success. So get ready to unlock the blueprints to your success.
Welcome everyone to our newest episode. I'm excited to have Adorette Dana Hotch as my guest today. Her company is called Dining with Nature. She's a dietitian and a health and wellness coach. So welcome to the show, Adorette. Nice to see you.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited.
So it's lovely to have you here. So I want to hear about, how did you become a dietitian? How did you get involved in the health and wellness industry?
I was definitely one of those teenagers who struggled with their body image and went through all those like fun adolescent years, trying to understand, you know, all the body changes and everything. And at some point in my teenage years, I went to go see a nutritionist. I remember my doctor just being like, look, it's not required, but if you're interested in, you know, exploring this space, and my mom was like, do you want to go? And my sister were like, sure. And so we went together, and this was the first time I had ever seen this combination of the health space and the food space being brought together. It was like a very new concept for me. I wasn't educated in this area, and I was like, whoa, this is really cool. I've always been interested in food. Food has always been just like something that I love. And I love to cook and all these things. And in combination with science and now like a health piece, like I was like, wow, this is for me. Like I kind of my interest was piqued. That's the best way I can put it. And from there, I did my undergrad in nutrition. And then wasn't 100% sure what I was going to do with that. I didn't know if I was actually going to become a dietitian, because my passion really does revolve around food, more so than anything. Although science and health I love, I wasn't quite sure necessarily if this is the path that I was going to go down. But, you know, growing up in a house of, I have three sisters. I also have two brothers, but three sisters, and my mom was a very female dominated household. And, I just was always fascinated by women's health, specifically like all of us kind of going through all the changes that you go through as a woman and life. And I always make the joke that my mom was either pregnant or breastfeeding my entire childhood. And so it just kind of like all of these things, like, you know, just affected me and influenced me. And I was like, how do you bring all of these things that interest me together? And I ended up, you know, going to grad school and then becoming a dietitian and opening my private practice, Dining with Nature. And we work with women from fertility through family life, focusing on a holistic approach to nutrition care. And it was my way of being able to kind of bring all the things that I love together and like give it back in this way.
I love that. I love it. Five kids. No wonder your mom was either breastfeeding or.
Yeah, six kids. Yep.
Six. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Missed one.
Yeah.
That's so cool. How old did you say you were when your mom sent you to a nutritionist?
I was about 15 or 16 years old. Yeah. Mid high school. Yeah. Yeah.
It's so smart, because as a parent, you know, kids don't want to hear it from you.
Yeah.
That's wonderful that she did that. And that kind of sparked your interest. Love that.
Yeah.
So do you have a brick and mortar practice, or is it online?
Yeah, my whole practice is all virtual. Everything is done via video chat or phone calls, mostly video chat. And I think that I never knew that this space, it's COVID, like, to be really blunt about it, like COVID really pushed healthcare, the type of healthcare that I do, in this direction. And, you know, there's a lot of information and there's a lot of counseling you can do over telehealth. That doesn't need to happen in an office space. And it's kind of really nice, because it makes it so people feel like it's more accessible and convenient.
Yeah, definitely more convenient for people. They don't have to go out and go somewhere unfamiliar. Yeah. They can be, you know, at their home in their living room or in their bedroom and talk. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. So tell me a little bit about, you said you work with females, which is awesome. And I know it was really weird. I was listening to somebody talking about how many studies are done, and, you know, 99% of them are not done on women. They're all men. Shocked and saddened me, actually. So it's lovely that you're working with women. So tell me a little bit about, you said from pregnancy, is that right?
I call it fertility through family life. Where it's, that preconception phase, or at least, that interest in managing through a fertility lens. And that can be fertility related conditions like PCOS and endometriosis. So that's why I use that word fertility. And then through family life to acknowledge that, at the end of the day, when you do go through pregnancy and you go through postpartum, you're not alone. There's either a partner, or there's already children, or there will be a child. And so, I think that that speaks to the idea that, moms always say, like, well, yeah, but it's not just about me anymore. And it's like, yeah, I want to take care of myself, but part of taking care of myself means taking care of my family. And so, just kind of that acknowledgement. So, I call it fertility through family life to really encompass the full circle and the full picture.
Yeah, I love
Yeah.
that. People like you were around when I was pregnant because, a lot of us just gave everything that we did for ourselves up. And, it's all about the kids and getting them in the right
Yeah.
direction and the right school and make sure they're hitting all their, what do you call it? The milestones in their development and their growth. And you kind of forget about yourself. So, it's great that there are people like you helping women. And I know there's a lot of fertility issues and things out there, and I suspect some of it has to do with what we're eating and putting into our bodies. Yeah.
Yeah.
So tell me a little bit about now, when you say family life, do you go all the way through menopause or perimenopause and menopause? Because that hit me like a rock.
Yeah, I mean, I would say that it's not my, like, I don't advertise as working with perimenopause or menopause. There are dietitians who do specifically work with this specific stage, but it happens a lot that that's just kind of the nature of it. Like, a lot of women will come to me when they're done having children, and they're like, okay, I'm like now completely focused on myself and I want to do this and I'm heading into my menopausal years. And so that's kind of why I'm here. And so it kind of happens inevitably as a life cycle dietitian, that you end up working with that population as well. But to just say that, like, it's not, it's, my name doesn't say, there are dietitians who specifically work with those life stages. So, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So tell me a little bit about maybe some clients that you've worked with, kind of where they were when they came to you, kind of what state they were in, and then how you kind of helped them
Yeah,
through
absolutely.
wherever they were.
So I think there's, like, a very wide range. I think the two that always stand out to me is, like, someone that comes to me postpartum and someone that comes to me with, let's say, something like PCOS. And I think those are two that are going to really, like, resonate with a lot of people. And so I'll pull those two out. So someone who comes to me postpartum, and that can be someone postpartum, like I said, I'm done with having kids. I had my kids. I'm done. I'm now in these years, and I'm trying to get familiar with who I am and my body and my relationship with food. And sometimes it's about weight, sometimes it's just about, health in general. And so, or they're coming to me, within 6 months of having just given birth. And it's not necessarily that they're end of their childbearing years necessarily, but that they kind of are wanna get back to themselves after having a baby. So two versions of postpartum, but both, I think, all kind of come into the same place when they're coming to me and just feeling very unfamiliar with their body. It feels very like, I remember myself pre-pregnancy. There's so many changes that happen in such a short span of time. You are going to feel disconnected from your body. It's inevitable. I mean, between, you have 9 months where you go through these three trimesters of drastic change, and then all of a sudden you have a baby. And your body looks completely different than when it did pre-pregnancy, or you feel different and all of these things. And so that is a very common way to come to me. And that is exploring both all the nutrition side, the clinical side of, like, what you need to re the nutrients you need to replenish, the foods you need to be eating and concentrating on, and all of that. But then also this exploration of, like, okay, but you are not the person you were before. This is your body. This conversation of body acceptance. I always say a changing body is a healthy body. And I think that that's, like, hard sometimes for people to, I don't want to look in the mirror and see somebody else. I want to look in the mirror and see what I'm used to. So that's a lot of the work that kind of comes in. And then, all of the relationship with food conversations. And that, I think, is true for all patients that I work with. The relationship with food conversation comes into play, especially comes into play postpartum, but it comes into play in pretty much every patient that I work with. It's relationship with food and body, that's very complicated, part of being a human these days.
Yeah. Yeah, they talk about it kind of starts when you are when you're like feeding, like with your mom when you're an infant, whether that's breastfeeding or bottle feeding, and you're getting food and nurturing at the same time. And they say that kind of carries through, that you see food as something nurturing. And I suppose it can be, but it just depends on what you're putting in your mouth, right?
Exactly. And that's how it should be. It's something from when you're younger, it wasn't that, it didn't play that role. Or as you got older, things changed because you started having to make your own decisions and weren't necessarily given the tools in order to do that. So I think that there's a lot of things that come into, you know, that come into the conversation. And yeah, so that's working with like a postpartum patient. That's kind of like something that would play out in that arena. And then with a patient, let's say that's coming to me with a fertility related condition like PCOS, the beginning is of working with that patient is very clinical, you know, looking at their labs, looking at when they were diagnosed, what have they done, what haven't they done, have they worked with a dietitian before.
What is PCOS?
Oh, PCOS is a condition. It's an acronym for polycystic ovary syndrome. It's a hormonal condition. It's an endocrine related condition where the body is producing high levels of testosterone, throwing off the ratio of testosterone to estrogen in the female body, with cysts growing on the ovaries as well. And it's being, we're doing better at diagnosing it, more and more diagnosis. It's hard to, it's not an easy condition to diagnose, although we are getting better at it, thankfully. And it comes back to your comment about research being done on women, and how we need to do more in order to be able to diagnose and treat these types of conditions more effectively. When you work, nutrition is a huge part of managing PCOS. It's one of the main lines of defense against PCOS. And so, you know, somebody's coming to me with the condition, whether it's just to manage it or manage it so that they can have children. It becomes the first bit is always very clinical, like when they were diagnosed, how long they've, you know, what kind of treatments they've had, have they been on birth control, are they on birth control, right? All these little like nuances of their case, and then taking them from there to implement some of the nutrition strategies to help, you know, either improve their fertility outcomes, or just to help them manage their symptoms. There can be a lot of symptoms that come with PCOS that can be very difficult. And so that is using nutrition as a way to kind of manage.
Yeah. It's all about nutrition, you know, because I was talking to someone, they're like, you know, you can take control of what you're putting in your body. And you need to understand, you know, that your body is doing its best with whatever you're giving it. And so the more good stuff that you can give it, you know, the more effective it can be, and the more, you know, the more it's going to take care of you, the better you're going to feel.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah.
Yep.
So I would imagine you deal a lot with emotional and mindset as well as, you know, the clinical stuff, because that's kind of sometimes where you get hit the hardest is, you know, I feel awful, I don't know why, and I can't stop eating crap, or, you know, whatever it is that people are struggling with.
I do talk a lot about the emotional and mental side when it comes to food. I was just saying this today to another patient of mine, that we're living in a time where we can relieve anxiety by eating food. That wasn't always the case. You know, to be a little dramatic about it, we once were hunters and gatherers. Food wasn't, you know, so readily available to us the way it is now. It's so accessible. And so we can use it to soothe ourselves. And that's a pretty wild world to live in if you think about it in terms of just like human nature. And so because we can do that, it's a little complicated, because you have to then control it, but you're in an emotional state. And so these are the types of conversations I am often having with my patients, about their relationship with food, and how they use it to fuel themselves and nourish themselves versus how they use it to either entertain themselves or to, you know, however they're using food, because of the way it's so accessible to us. And if, you know, being realistic about it, right? Being realistic about it and saying, look, nourish yourself 80% of the time. And that leaves this 20% room for you to explore it in different ways. You can go to restaurants, you can eat ice cream when you're, you know, on a hot summer day, right? Where you can like really use food in a different way because we can in this world that we live in. So, you know, focusing on food as nourishment and food as fuel, and then leaving that room for food as entertainment, food as experience, food as art, food as emotional relief.
Yeah, I love that. Food is entertainment. It's so true.
Yeah.
I remember long before I had kids or was married, I had a personal trainer because I wanted to get in shape for a particular event I was going to. And I got to the point where I did think of food as fuel. And it was it's the only time in my life I've ever done it. It was really kind of empowering. And it was a really like kind of a 360 degree turn from thinking of it as entertainment and fun and happiness and, you know, to thinking, okay, you know, this is just what my body needs. So it's really a complete mind shift.
Yep, exactly.
That's great that you can help people do that. I love that. So if people are listening and they're thinking, I am possibly in one of those categories that you discuss, and having struggles with food and kids and all of that, what would you say would be the most important tweak, something small that they could do and start getting into a routine doing that would make them kind of feel like they're taking the first step in the right direction?
A few things come to mind. I think it depends on where I'm meeting you at, but I'm going to give two that come to mind because I think everyone's kind of starting from a different place. That all sounds great. And I see a lot of stuff on social media that tells me what to do and what not to do. And I hear things from friends about eating gluten and drinking too much caffeine and right, all the little fun nutrition rumors that are out there. So, you know, what applies to me? And I think that that's like a very common question. And so I say, start with awareness. What are you doing now? You know, and we're so quick to want to change everything about ourselves, especially when it comes to nutrition and how we eat. And so to kind of come at it from a different angle of like, whoa, first of all, what are you doing now? Does something drastic need to change? Maybe it's something small. Maybe it's something big. First build awareness and figure out what you're doing. And that would be like my like starting point, and like take stock of everything from what do I eat to how much do I move to, you know, is my cycle regular? You know, what is a regular cycle for me? Things like that, just kind of really getting familiar with what I call to my patients, the boring stuff. I don't think it's boring. I think it's super interesting, but you might think it's mundane and boring, about your life. And then my second tip for someone who maybe is like, no, I'm super familiar with my life, I know nutrition really well, or I understand concepts or whatever it is, I say, if you're not already cooking at home, cook at home. And you might hear me say it again later. So I'm sorry if I repeat myself and say this again. Start cooking at home. My biggest fear is that we're going to head into a world where it's normal to not have a kitchen in your home. Because I feel like takeout and restaurant and all the ease in which we can get food to our home without having to prepare it is growing, is only just more and more in this world where the expectation is that we are going to be on our phones and our computers, not in the kitchen. And you know, that's the direction we're heading in. Shift course. It was never supposed to go this far. You know, yes, it's exciting that we can get food so readily available to us, but I don't think there was ever an intention for us to be so disconnected to the point of the only connection I have to food is scrolling on an app on my phone.
That's so true. Gosh, I didn't even think about that. A house with no kitchen, that scares me.
Yeah,
but
it
totally makes sense. I mean, you know, kids don't always spend time in the kitchen learning how to cook food. I do love about Europeans and that they always have the kids in the kitchen and they're always helping, you know, make the pasta or the sauce and learning that. I think that's really a really cool and a great lesson and a great bonding kind of time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So I appreciate it. The other thing I was thinking when you were talking about eating and paying attention is I learned this not all that long ago, but you have to pay attention to how you feel when you're eating. Because if you're in an anxious state, your body isn't handling that food well. It's not going to all the right places it needs to go to. And I find that fascinating.
Yep. Mindful eating is key. It's one of the biggest topics I talk about. I was talking about it today. What is mindful eating? And, you know, how do we do that in a day and age of screens? Like in a day and age where we have phones and computers and TVs are constantly on around us, like how do we practice mindful eating in that environment? And it's not necessarily about shutting it all off, but it is about like spending a time sitting down and actually like paying attention to what we're eating and why we're eating and our hunger levels and all these little nuances, instead of just doing it to do it. And you know, it's a big ask in this world.
Yeah, it's actually sometimes really hard to do.
Yeah.
I was working with someone as well, and she was like, all right, you need to, like you said, turn off the screens and, you know, maybe listen to some music if you want, but, you know, taste every bite and take your time with it. And it's like, no, I've got things to do. I want to rush through it. You know, or I want to watch this show. That's my time to watch this show.
Exactly.
It can be really challenging. So, if somebody is listening to us or I should say for all the people listening to us who are thinking, Adairit, you are the person who I think can help me because I'm in one of these situations. What would be the best way for them to reach out to you?
For sure. You can reach me a couple ways. So first you can head to my website, diningwithnature.com. You can find me there. You can message me through the website. You can, you know, you can catch my email address, all my contact information there. And you can also find me on Instagram at Dining with Nature. Please don't ever hesitate to DM me. I'm always happy to chat with people and see where people are at and what they're looking for. And we have on my website, there's a pop-up to get our free meal planning guide. And so you can subscribe to Dining with Nature and get our free meal planning guide, which I find to be a really useful tool in terms of what's special when we're talking about where to start. It will help you both with setting up your home, planning meals seasonally. I love people eating seasonally. I think that's always like a really fun way to kind of meal plan. And then all the steps it takes for the prep and the shop and the cook parts of meal planning. And so it's also a great tool to, when I say cook at home, people are like, okay, where do I start? And so this is also a great way to start.
I love that. Is your Instagram full of you cooking all these beautiful meals?
Yeah, some of it is. Yes.
I love that. Actually, my husband and I said one day when we retire that we were gonna challenge ourselves to, like, you know, this week we're gonna cook Italian and next week we're gonna cook, you know, Spanish food and kind of cook things that we never had before and learn more about them. So we'll
see. I love that.
I'll report back.
Okay.
So the last question I have for you is, if there's one tip that you could give the world to make it a better place, what would that be?
Fruits and vegetables, eat seasonally. And I kind of was leading that way when I was talking about cooking at home. And then I kind of brought in our meal planning guide. So I was kind of leading that way, but fruits and vegetables, preparing them at home, buying them locally, eating them seasonally. That is both great for our planet. It's great for your community. It's great for your health. It's like a win, 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 win. Everybody wins in those situations. And so to me, it's like the simplest, most effective thing we can do as people right now on this planet. And so if you're ever wondering, hey, you know, where should I start with nutrition? Go to your local farmer's market. It's June. So if you're not trying to shop during this growing season, you're missing out. Go to your local farmer's market, buy some stuff that's in season, eat it. Like you're doing a service to the whole world and yourself.
Oh, I love that. And who doesn't love a good farmer's market? Come on.
Yeah, exactly.
They always have the best salsa and guacamole. So again, Adairit,
yeah.
Thank you so much for joining me today. This has been such a pleasure, so informative. And I know people listening who are going to be excited to reach out to you and get your help. So thank you.
Thank you so much. This was great. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely.
Thanks for joining us today on Blueprints for Brilliance Coaching Insights. We hope you're leaving this episode with inspiration to take your coaching business and your life to the next level. If you found value in this episode, we would love it if you would subscribe and share it with someone else who you think might benefit from hearing it. Thanks, and we'll see you in the next episode.